The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerate.
Is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776.
I just flipped over to Twitter and checked my mentions, where Al says, how is there zero third-party votes in Maricopa County? And he screenshotted the Biden Trump, and it was at that point it's 912,585 for Biden, 838,071 for Trump, 0.0 for Joe Jorgensen. You know what? It's a conspiracy. Do we have some conspiracy theory music you can play? I mean, the unsolved mysteries or I mean. I don't know. They're probably not counting her votes.
832 tried to explain it to me like I'm a five-year-old. So here we go. They posted thousands of ballots being all for Biden in Michigan. We hear that or read it, and you say we are dumb for believing it. I didn't say you were dumb for believing it. What I said was they released that. They immediately corrected it. So now you say they came out and corrected the statement that it was false. Yes. So you read that comment about being false and believe it. Yeah, because it came from a reputable place. And they admitted it. They admitted they made a mistake. Came from them. So why do you believe the post about it being false? Because the AP checked it. Everybody checked it, and they all came out and said the same thing. That is the one irregularity that has been found. But you latch on to that, and you hold on to that and believe it, if that's what you want. I got all kinds of crap, I'll tell you, if you want to just believe whatever the hell you read. And yes, I still think you're a moron. So congratulations. You know what? Because I'm gonna throw something else out there. And this is totally, and don't worry, we'll get to sports at some point because we got sports guests coming on. But I'll give you an example of the kind of thing you would believe, sir. Remember after the Vegas shootings, all these people were saying that didn't happen. It was a false flag, and there was a whole group of people attacked this poor kid who survived the shootings to the point where he almost killed himself. And they all believed that, the shootings never happened. Well, you and I know two people who were actually there. I actually know three people who were there. And those things happened. People died. And yet Twitter and conspiracy theorists went out there and created this whole narrative that was just completely false, and a bunch of you idiots bought into it. And I think that's what's happening here. Sorry.
Twitch is a wild. I don't know if we can even keep up with Twitch anymore on this. Like during the show, it's gotten wild. All right, let's go to some sports, I guess.
Yeah, probably a good idea.
It looks like the football game is going to be played tonight. I saw the Washington Cal game got ronied out. It's gone. Louisville Virginia got ronied out yesterday. I'll be honest. And I was talking to Tom at pregame. Tom is the guy, when you work at pregame, he's the guy you have to talk to. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to keep doing handicapping because I'm doing so much work on these games. And then the game gets canceled. I had a big write-up on Louisville, Virginia, and then it's gone. And
a lot of time. And some of these happen right the day before. Well, hell, as a UH fan, I know all about that. They were on the bus to Baylor, it's going to keep happening. It's going to happen in the NFL, I mean, from a handicapping perspective, this game, it looks like it's going to happen, but look how many guys are out. There's eight guys out for the 49ers.
Yeah.
And
And they've already got injuries on top of that. And here's the worst part about the 49ers. Turns out, false positive.
Yeah.
But we can't just say everyone's clear. You still can't play in the game. Also, the people who you were around, who you traced, you guys can't play either.
So, the Texans basically shut down Whitney Mercilus, Dylan Cole, because they were around Jacob Martin. Yeah. And I think, and part of the Louisville problem was like their entire defensive line now had to be quarantined. And man, that's happening a lot.
And guess what? Your boy Tyler Irvin looks like he's going to get a shot tonight, baby.
Ooh, boy.
Because the Packers have no one else to play the running back position. It's wild.
Yeah, and man, and I think from a gambling perspective, that really makes it difficult at times.
I've got no interest in that game.
Yeah.
And I looked at the total, and I finally told myself, you know what? This is it's just flipping a coin if that's what I'm doing. I don't want to flip a coin.
Yeah.
Not at minus 110.
And somebody says, how are games still being canceled for the Rona? I thought it was going to go away after November 3rd.
It's supposed to.
Because we don't have a winner yet.
Yeah. Once the election's decided, they're going to release the vaccine and the Rona will die.
Why do you need a vaccine? Because it's not real anyway.
That's true. It's fake news.
Yeah, and all you guys are still
and it looks
going
like, on. I mean, COVID, from all accounts, looks like it ain't going nowhere, brother.
Well, they finally issued a mask order for Saskatoon and Regina. So, because I mean, they're getting, you know, they're very spread out there. But like the big cities, Toronto and Ottawa, all those places are having real problems up there too. And, you know, that's the two big debates on the talk show I listened to were about our election and about, you know, whether or not they should go on lockdown again. And I they had an expert on there, and I still think the best thing is not to shut things down, but if things get bad in a specific area, you try to lock that area down and not a whole city and a whole country. And I think that makes sense, but we'll see. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen here. I mean, at least, well, let me check. I haven't checked the numbers today. I know it's bad, you know, in a lot of places in the states, bad in a lot of places in the country. But, you know, I keep wondering, well, if it keeps getting this bad, what good is shutting things down?
Yeah.
I mean, really.
I mean, Italy shut everything down, and now they're back up in the giant spike in Europe again.
Yeah.
All those European countries locked everything down.
None of us know what the answer is.
Italy in particular, because they had it really bad at first.
Yep.
Then they locked everything down.
Yeah.
And now it's back.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, well, should we be locking all this?
Yeah, that didn't work. Mm-hmm. But obviously, not. I mean, as we've opened back up, I think yesterday we set the record for most Rona cases in the U.S.
Yeah.
Like it's the worst day in the U.S. for Rona.
Yeah, well,
so I don't know what the right move is. Truthfully, I don't think there is a right move.
Well, I mean, I think at some point, like I said, we just have to learn to live with this thing. And if you get to an area where the hospitals are suddenly overwhelmed, then yeah, I think you got to shut it down. But otherwise, I think, you know, we're all going to get it. It's not going away, and we can't just, you know, keep letting businesses die.
Right.
While we're waiting for a vaccine that may or may not work, that may or may not be available to all of us until 2022. Is that really the life we want to lead? Where some of us who are old, where you're taking 2 years out of our lives, essentially? I don't know that I'm okay with that.
You better get okay with it.
But, you know, I think, you know, I don't know. It's interesting because they have so many experts on, and for some reason they're fascinated with us, which is why I listen to it. It's more about the United States than it is Canada. Yeah. And
it's from an outsider's view.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, the cases are so bad there and all this. It's like, yeah, okay, but I don't hear any answers from your guys either.
Well, what are they doing in Canada? How are they?
Well, they were on a lockdown for a lot longer than we were.
Yeah.
And, you know, now.
So did we come out too early?
No, because now that they've come back out, guess what? The numbers there are exploding. So basically, if you lock down for however long, as soon as you come out of it, the numbers are going to spike.
Right.
It's like you're delaying the inevitable.
So, yeah, I mean, why not, you know, I mean, why do we not just say, okay, we're going to get this thing in waves. Let's, you know, I don't know. The best answer I've heard, though, is basically, look, if you know, kids are going to have to go to school, people need to get back to their businesses and their lives, let's let them do it. as much as we can. That doesn't mean let's still social distance. Let's not fill a train full of people all over each other. But social distance and wear masks and take precautions and wash your hands and do all that. And if you have an outbreak that overwhelms the hospital in a community, then that community, you have to lock down. That seems pretty reasonable to me.
Yeah.
So, but that's, but then there's other people say completely different stuff. But I do feel like they are going through now what we did in June.
Yeah. And I mean, it's all going to be cycles.
Right.
Depending on how long you were willing to shut down for. There's no win on this. I don't think there's a right answer.
And so we need to take care of the at-risk people and the people that have it.
But, I get that. Yeah. What we really need is a vaccine. Like, it'd be helpful. So scientists.
Yeah. Well, they're working on it, but it's, but that's.
By the way, the scientist can be Republican or a Democrat. I don't care.
I want a Republican scientist.
Okay, fine. Yeah. All right, all Democrats, stop working on the vaccine.
No, you guys can work on it, but just give it to the Republicans. I want them to get a win. So. All right. I promise you, we'll get to sports at 5:30 because we got no choice. Brad Powers will be here.
That's right. Got some college foosball to talk.
Yeah. Carl Drago says, no hat today, Falcon? No, I decided to.
To wave his, let his freak flag fly.
Yeah, I decided to show off the, this is my mafia look. This is my, I want to.
That's Fred's lesbian look.
No.
Says you look like Steven Seagal.
Yeah, Fred's out and proud.
Stop. This is my, underboss look. I'm not like the boss, but it's kind of like an underboss.
That's the guy that goes to prison.
True.
No, that's the guy who rolls over on AJ. All right, we'll take a quick break. It's a blitz on ESPN 975 925.
Hey guys, it's AJ Hoffman. It's fall and we could all use a little awesome. Well, our friends at Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collections for guys, guaranteed to upgrade your life. From style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and outdoor gear, Box of Awesome has collections for every part of your life. Bespoke Post only sends guys the best stuff every month. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered. Who wouldn't want awesome stuff sent to them every month, right? It's like Christmas on your doorstep. Whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads for when the temperature dips, no matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered. To get started, take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them to pick the right Box of Awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs only $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BLITZ at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, promo code BLITZ for 20% off your first box.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Somehow we run Steven Seagal movies on Twitch.
I don't and know either.
Saints Patrick asks, is executive decision considered a Seagal movie? That's my vote. Spoiler alert, he only lasts like 2 minutes in that movie, so I don't know that it counts. Did you ever see that? It was Kurt Russell, right? Is the main guy?
I don't know if I've ever seen it.
Yeah, well, basically, the terrorists have taken over a plane, and they have this, they use this weird sort of, it's an airplane, but it's got like a tube on it, so they try to get on the jet that way with a
team. Yeah, it was Kurt Russell, Halle Berry, John Leguizamo.
Yeah, John Leguizamo was in it.
Although Steven Seagal, he lasted, like you said, a whole, 2.5 minutes, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, he came
He's the second highest billed person on the...
I don't know that I like any Steven Seagal movies, to be honest. Steven Seagal's a really, really horrible actor.
Oh, God, he's bad, yeah. Oh,
unbelievable.
No, I did like Under Siege, but mostly because it was Tommy Lee Jones. And...
I'm looking at, like, he did... Because, the early 90s was his...
Right.
And it was Marked for Death, Hard to Kill, Marked Out for
Death.
Justice.
Marked for Death was bad.
Under Siege 2... Those were all bad movies.
No, Exit Wounds wasn't bad.
I don't remember that one. Mark for Death.
Wounds was like that. That wasn't made in the 90s, though, right?
That yeah, was.
Was it?
Oh, it was 2001.
Okay. I'm talking about like the early, like when Steven Seagal was in his prime, was like 1989 to 1992. I don't think he made a good movie then.
Wasn't he, didn't he like he turn Russian basically?
He made 13 between 88 and 98.
Yeah. Including Glimmer Man. Glimmer Man, that might be my favorite, that might be my favorite Seagal movie, Glimmer Man.
B. Hannon asks, who's worse, Keanu Reeves or Seagal? I'd say Seagal.
Seagal's worse. Yeah. Keanu Reeves has been in a couple good movies, at least.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that we're debating Exit Wounds versus Under Siege, I mean, we're picking from the bottom of the barrel on Seagal movies.
Well, but
I'm not a Matrix guy. Treasure. You shut your mouth.
I'm not a Matrix guy, but like
that's still way better than anything he ever did.
Now, if you want to make the argument of like Nick Cage maybe versus Seagal, I'll understand. I'll at least listen to that argument.
But even Nick Keanu Cage is a terrible actor, but he's been in better movies than Steven Seagal.
Oh yeah, agreed. But I'm just saying when you're ranking, if you're going to put anybody against Steven Seagal, leave Keanu Reeves out of it.
Yeah, I'm not for that.
Yeah, listen, I love the John Wick movies.
I still haven't seen any John Wick.
Well, movies. And again, it's not
probably need.
It's to. Not something you where you're doing a whole lot of thinking. I mean, it's basically him playing a video game to see how many guys he can kill, and it's awesome. I like stuff like that.
Well, yeah. He was also Theodore Logan Esquire,
which also that was better than anything Steven Seagal has ever done.
True.
Even Bill and Ted 2.
Yeah,
I haven't seen the new one yet. I need to see the new
either.
One. Yeah. But
he was also Donnie Barksdale in The Gift, where the real gift was Katie Holmes' boobies.
Khal Drogo asked, is Speed considered a good movie? It was a big hit.
Matrix
was a monster hit, too.
Speed's not a bad movie.
No. But again, also had Dennis Hopper.
Yeah.
As a bad guy back when Dennis Hopper was still alive.
He's in a movie that a lot of people love, and you know people are going to get mad at me for saying that this movie sucks, but I'm going to do it anyway. Point Break, bad movie. People love it.
Well, you want to talk about terribly miscast? Because his character should have been the Spicoli character, and Gary Busey's character should have been the...
Yeah.
Yeah, that was totally backwards. But that's because everybody loves Patrick Swayze, and he's dead now, and he's from here.
True.
So they all love that. But you can't say bad things about that. So they can't say bad things about Dirty Dancing or Roadhouse or Next of Kin. Next of Kin, maybe some of the worst acting I've ever seen with some really good actors in a movie. Helen Hunt was in that. What's his face from Taken? I'm blanking on his name.
Liam Neeson?
Liam Neeson was in that with a hillbilly accent. I heard a gale the guy killed my brother. It was a terrible movie. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713. I don't even know how the hell we got on this. I just wanted to do something other than politics and Rona for a segment.
I did too. Thank you guys so much. It was all started with you looking like Steven Seagal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, he ballooned up nicely, so I can see that comparison. I'll take that over the pedo guy you guys always keep trying to tell me I look like.
Yeah, but. Sorry. You're a mustache away.
Guess who's never going to have a mustache then?
Thanks to Harry's. Only we had a read right now.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to have a mustache because I don't want to look like Cal McNair.
You don't want to look like Jeffrey Jones.
Either one.
Bueller.
Oh. Yeah. Roadhouse, also one of the more poorly written shows ever. Like, his big line was, opinions vary.
Yeah. The Replacements, Jay Garza says.
Ooh,
not a great movie.
No.
And he was bullied. They were like flipping his truck over. Poor guy. Poor Keanu. But Nick Cage couldn't have done that role. Let's face it.
No.
And Steven Seagal certainly could have done that role. You know what? Now that I think about it, Keanu Reeves is a great American actor. Actually, I think he's Canadian.
He is Canadian.
He's a great Canadian actor.
Oh. He
was born in Lebanon.
Oh, really?
Well, now I'm a fan. Don't you say anything bad about the man. One of my people.
Okay.
I guess in the rankings, I would go Reeves, Cage, Seagal. Fair?
I think that's my ranks,
yeah.
Too.
I'll go with that. Yeah. What year were you born in, Fred? Or do you not want to say it?
Listen, I'm not one of those guys who cares what how old people. Apparently, it's a big
born
deal.
Born in 1949.
64.
So is Keanu Reeves.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, that's my boy.
How's he so handsome?
Because he's an actor.
You look like you got run over by a garbage truck.
No, he drinks that baby blood.
Oh, that's what it is. Hollywood elitist.
Yep.
Yeah.
Plus, he's had work done. But, yeah, apparently in TV and radio, you're not supposed to tell anybody how old you are. Like, people get offended if you kind of guess, try to guess their age. I don't give a rat's ass. I am, you know, I'm 55 years old and be 56 in about almost a month, a little more than a month. I don't care. All right. I'm going to act 25. I'm going to do the show for all the people.
What year were you born, Aaron?
88.
88. I'll be damned.
Jeez, what was I? Who was I doing in 88?
I mean, you were playing Dungeons and Dragons, so yourself.
True.
Oh, I had.
Now I'm going to get canceled by all the Dragon Masters, or whatever, okay. Man, the Lair players, whatever they call them.
One of our listeners reached out to me about maybe wanting that stuff, and I was like, I was going to go through it today. There may be 80 books of Dungeons and Dragons stuff in this box, so I didn't get around to it because I had real work to do. So it's probably going to happen this weekend. And some of the stuff I don't even remember because I didn't even know they made it. But there's like all these specialty Dungeon Master books and things like that. There's a book on demigods that gives you like all the like every god in the whole thing. It gives you everything about them. So if you want to put one in your dungeon, tell you know what the powers are.
I'm pretty sure one of my wife's coworkers has been playing the same game once a week for the past 2 years. That I'm out on. You I don't have that kind of attention span.
You want to do some odds real quick?
Sure. What are the odds Thursday?
What are the odds Thursday? There are odds on what will President Trump say during his November 5th, 2020 television address.
Oh, he's got it. That's
he's
today. Got,
he's
that's
doing it tonight.
Tonight.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which word will he say first? Here are your choices. North Carolina plus 1,200. You tell me when there's value.
Okay.
Nevada plus 1,000.
No.
Count plus 1,000.
Okay.
Court plus
850. Yeah, okay, there's your first one.
Georgia plus 800. Arizona plus 800. Pennsylvania plus 550.
That's I think, going to be your first one.
Steal or stealing plus 500.
It's good odds there.
Win or winning plus 300.
Yeah. This is the first word he's going to say?
First word he's going to say.
Out of all these, okay.
Fraud plus 300. So fraud and win or winning. That's your favorite.
So win and winning are the same thing?
Yep.
Okay.
If it says win or winning.
Give me that one.
Okay.
Give me that one.
I'm going to go with Pennsylvania at plus 550.
Okay.
Aaron, what time is this happening? Do you know?
I think they said 7 Eastern, but I'll check.
Okay. So in 34 minutes, you got a take on this? You like a certain word?
I think steal.
Okay.
But see, it's
steal
hard for
was
me
my
to,
second choice.
It's hard for me to concentrate on it because the second you say first word, I think that's the first thing that's going to come out of his mouth.
No, it's
not
of these
the choice.
Words.
I get
of
that.
These choices. This is it.
But my problem is I start losing track of the choices.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, and then my brain reverts back to, well, what's the first word he's going to say?
Like, what do you? So put it this way. What do you think his first sentence is going to be?
We're winning this election. We're going to win this election. The Democrats aren't going to steal it from us. That's where it's going to start.
You think it's going to start positive?
Yeah. We're winning. We're ahead in Pennsylvania. That's your only chance. But it's going to come after winning.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think America or United States will happen before those. It's not on the list, though, unfortunately.
We were robbed plus 425. I would say steal.
That would be that
because
count as
steal
or
stealing. The Democrats are trying to steal. Fake news.
I bet media happens way up there.
Yeah, I bet you that one's up there. 6:30 Eastern, according to Flimsy Cherry, which means
oh,
3 minutes.
Coming up.
Yeah,
while we're talking with Brad.
Oh, damn it. Well, sorry, Brad. You're going to have to wait.
Maybe you can keep track of which one comes first so we can see who won.
Okay. Well, let's hit a break. We'll come back with Brad Powers. We'll talk some college foosball on the other side. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. We promised you we'd get to some sports at some point. I mean, we had a couple of little sportsy things, but we have no choice now because guess who's here to talk college football? Probably still excited that Maction was back last night. Oh. Pac-12's coming. It's our man, Brad Powers. Follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7, BradPowersSports.com. Brad, what's going on, buddy?
Not much. How you guys doing on this fine Thursday?
We're doing all right, man. We're having a good time. We had some action last night. We're still talking a little bit of election, probably more election than we'd like to. But if your state out there, Nevada, would get their bleep together, maybe we'd know something.
Yeah, let me talk about the Mac. I'm just going to flow with what we're doing counting out here.
Yeah, just...
I mean, you would think in 2020 we could you know process counting some votes a little quicker than this. This is unbelievably bad. I don't even care who you want to win the election. I mean, this is an embarrassment.
That's all on your state, so we blame you.
Well, it's not only that state.
No.
I said yesterday before the game started, I went through a lot of the MAC teams, and Bowling Green, I think they're the new Akron. They're the worst team in the MAC. Do you agree with that? That's your alma mater, I know, and I don't know if you want to speak ill of them, but are they the worst MAC team maybe in a long time?
Yeah, I mean, I had them worse than Akron, at least coming into this season. But, I mean, Akron did Akron things as well. I mean, they're both historically bad. I mean, both Akron and BG last year were the worst, MAC teams I've ever power rated. And, coming into this season, I thought I expected little improvement. I still thought they were bottom 3-4 teams in the entire country, but I thought they'd be a little bit better this year. But, man, after one game, neither one of those schools – I don't think it's shown any improvement. In fact, BG looked like they took a step back. That performance was god awful last night.
There's just so many freshmen on these teams, and in a year where there's basically no preparation, let's face it, it's very difficult to have your normal routine. The teams that have a bunch of seniors are going to have a big advantage, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's just been one of my go-tos, at least with the teams that have been, we've obviously had a staggered start to the season, but, one of my go-tos as far as these teams playing their first, second games is certainly I do think experience matters. I know a lot of people laughed at me that spring practice mattering, but it has. I mean, Coastal Carolina was the only team to have a full spring schedule, and last I checked, they're doing pretty well, so. Yeah, practice time and experience certainly has mattered so far through this COVID 2020 season.
Although last year, one of the bummiest beats, Ball State, who's got 17 seniors and a bunch of grad transfers, they should be really good this year, and they look like they're off. I mean, they didn't look bad, but that's a pretty rough loss to start the season for them.
That was bad. Market was all over it. I mean, I bet them 4.5 on Sunday. I thought I had a really good bet there, but that was that lot of comedy of errors in the final 90 seconds of that game for you not to come through with a Ball State cover. Miami continues to do it. I mean, I think that's 8 straight wins for them in games decided by 7 points or less. 8-0 for Miami. That's their run the last couple of years.
Well, that's something to look at with these point spreads. And one of the things, and you probably know this better than anybody, we were talking yesterday about how if you want to bet on a MAC favorite, you do it early in the week. And if you want to bet on the dog, you wait until late because those MAC favorites get steamed super hard as the week goes on.
Yeah, we certainly saw a lot of that movement last night. I mean, especially the bigger favorites. Buffalo, Western Michigan, Toledo all took money, all won. So all those people that won money betting those bigger favorites last night, they're all feeling good. We'll see if they give anything back this weekend, but I think they'll be ready to bet some more big favorites next week when the action turns around. I think there's some games on Tuesday next week.
Well, let's talk some Pac-12 because they get started this weekend. And I guess they've already got one game canceled. But these are teams that we haven't seen yet, so we don't really know what to expect. How do they decide what these lines are going to be, and how off are the opening lines compared to the closing on a week like this?
Obviously, there's some variance, and we've seen some bigger movement, especially in the Oregon-Stanford game. It's no different than a typical week one. You got to trust your power ratings. You start with where they were a year ago, and you go from there. But obviously, some different factors this year as far as practice time, experience mattering a little bit more. But it was not a different, overwhelmingly different process for me when it came to coming up with an opening season power ratings for these Pac-12 teams. I will say this: I'm probably a little bit more cautious than what I typically am. I mean, just living out here, there's kind of a carefree, laissez-faire type of attitude out here towards football, and I think that's one of the biggest reasons why that they don't compete at an elite level. So, it's tough for me if they got that type of emotion in this season. I'm not sure how many. I think there's going to be some disparities, is what I'm getting at here, between teams that I think it's going to be evident that want to play this 2020 season. I think there's going to be a few Pac-12 teams that, I think are going to be some fade material. It's just going to be quite apparent that they didn't necessarily want to play 2020.
Brad, one of the teams that I have been just pounding the last couple of weeks is Cincinnati, and I'm going to guess that you probably got there on Sunday morning when it was minus 10 and said, hey, that's probably a fair price, all the way up to 14 now, which I think might be a bit much, but your thoughts on Cincinnati-Houston?
Yeah, I would lean Bearcats, but I question, how many A-plus performances in a row can you deliver? I mean, they're coming off two straight against SMU and Memphis. I did bet them last week against Memphis. That was obviously an easy winner there. Yeah, that's one I didn't get to. It's tough getting to. Everything's gone within 2-3 minutes, guys. There's so many people betting, and it's available on the app, and there's fair limits that even some sharper, bigger pocket guys are betting into these. So, I mean, if you don't get to it within 3-4 minutes, it's long gone. And Cincinnati was one of those teams that they got bet into heavily. That would be the only way I could go in the game, although – I don't like it as much as I did last week when I bet them quite heavily against Memphis.
BYU, Boise tomorrow night. This may be BYU's last chance to lose. I think this is a really, really talented BYU team. I don't really like the hook here, but I do like them to cover at Boise. Your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I did attack this one on Sunday. I got BYU as a dog, +1, so I feel comfortable with that. Although, I'll say this, as I dived in, I just bet numbers on Sunday morning. That's all I pretty much do. I just have my number, I bet it, I fire away. I'll say this, diving more into the handicap, I'm not as wild as BYU, especially at the current price. And I'll tell you why. And a lot of it's the limited practice schedule for them this week. So BYU never practices on Sunday because of their religious beliefs. It's already a short week for them because they're traveling and playing on a Friday night. And on top of it, what's unique to this year, nobody in college football practiced on Tuesday because of the election. So that concerns me a little bit. And also, I mean, you're fading Boise State in a very unique role. They've only been a home underdog. This will be the second time in 15 years. And they won outright, and the only other time they've been a home underdog in the last 15 years. So it's going to be a really exciting game. I'm happy with my original position, but right now I don't think there's a lot of value.
One more team that we've just kind of been riding the coattails of for the last several weeks is Coastal Carolina. Number's 18 this week. If they finally got to a number that we can stay away from?
Yeah, I'm at the point where I want to fade them, actually. I think they've just been upgraded too much for that 51-0 blowout over Georgia State last week. I mean, I know they're 5-1 this year against the number 5-0 against FBS teams. They're covering by an average of 19 points per game. That's the number one cover margin in the entire country. But I think you're really starting to pay a premium now. South Alabama's not overly that bad. I mean, they've actually been pretty decent this year, much improved team. I actually lean with the Jags there.
Who would have thought that we'd be saying Michigan is a 3-point favorite against Indiana? I sure didn't see it coming. Is this a massive overreaction to what we've seen the last 2 weeks for both of these teams? Is that kind of where Indiana with the win over Penn State, and then they blow out Rutgers, and then Michigan looking so horrible against a team that, I mean, people thought was the worst team in the Big Ten? Is this an overreaction? Are we getting value on Michigan, which would be a rare thing to get value on the marquee team?
It's an overreaction. I don't think it's a massive one. I mean, I did have Indiana power rated nearly as a top 25 team coming in this season. So, and Michigan, I knew it was taking a major step back. So I'm guessing I would have had it 6 or 7 preseason as far as this line. I mean, historically speaking, it's a very short number. I mean, going back to 1980, and I probably could go back further, but that's all the databases go back to. This is the shortest spread Michigan's ever been a favorite over Indiana in 40 years. I mean, they've been a favorite every single time they played them. They've won 24 straight against Indiana, and they've never laid less than 6, and now here we are with a 3-point spread. I like playing on historical outliers. I like the bounce-back spot for the Wolverines, and I haven't been overwhelmed with Indiana, even though they're 2-0 for the first time since 1991 in Big Ten play. I like the Wolverines quite a bit.
So the marquee game this weekend, I guess, sort of, is Clemson-Notre Dame, and this game wouldn't have it probably wasn't going to be expected to be close, you know, 3 weeks ago, but now that Trevor Lawrence has Corona, it's suddenly a one-score game, at least according to the point spread. This thing opened 2.5. It got to 7, and it got hammered back down. Is 5 where it's sitting now, 5, 5.5? Is that the right number in your mind?
No, I don't think it's going to close there. Obviously, 5 is a dead number, so
right.
It'd be very interesting to see if it goes back up or if it comes back down. I mean, I bet Clemson early. Thought I was getting a really great number because I thought, you know, once it went to 7, I thought, okay, that's kind of what I expected. A little concerned with the buyback, but you know what? I've been watching Notre Dame football my entire life. I'm actually a Notre Dame fan. And sometimes I don't read them right, and I take a lot of flack for being anti-Notre Dame on Twitter and whatnot. But here's what I have seen is Notre Dame, when they have to play elite competition, and I'm talking teams that finish in the top 10, since 1994, they hardly ever step up to the level of competition and compete with these teams. 4-40 straight up against AP top 10 teams since 1994. 4-40. I mean, that's an Indiana or Purdue number, not Notre Dame. And I know we're talking against the spread here. Well, I'll give you against the spread. In those 44 games, they've fallen short of the spread by 8 points per game. I know they're an underdog in most of them, but they still don't cover. I don't think they cover in this one. The backup for Clemson, Uyunglele, is, you know, I don't think he's that bad. I mean, he's a 5-star. I was impressed with his performance against BC. I think the defensive coordinator versus offensive coordinator matchup is a huge mismatch with Brett Venables against a first-year guy and Tommy Reese for Notre Dame. The weather's going to be great, going to be 70 and sunny. It'll chill down a little bit at night, but weather's not a concern there. So add it up for me. I like the Tigers quite a bit.
I think there's an interesting matchup, and this is always a sort of a marquee game, but I think this year may be more interesting than most. Georgia and Florida. Open Georgia -6. It's been hammered down to -3. To me, Florida, in at least the last few years, has just been so poor offensively that it was hard to even put them on the field with Georgia. But Georgia's offense isn't what it's been. Florida's offense is very good. Is this a good line, this three-point spread? Are these teams pretty close this year, you think?
I mean, I'm part of the Florida money. I bet the +6. If you can shop around and maybe find a 3.5, I still think that's a good bet on Florida. You hit the nail on the head. I mean, let's go back to Nick Saban. His comments after his team played Georgia just a few weeks ago, I mean, this is the defensive mastermind Nick Saban said, hey, in today's day and age of college football, a great offense is going to beat a great defense. And I think Florida does have a great offense this year with Kyle Trask, Kyle Pitts, Kadarius Toney. And Georgia, you know, they have a great defense. Although I'm not sure they're going to have a great defense in this game because they're going to be without 4 starters. I don't think that's getting properly priced in the marketplace. And I, you know, Dan Mullins looked like an idiot in a lot of instances this year, but I thought his team responded. And players like that when your coach goes to bat for you. So I expect Florida to break a losing streak here against Georgia. I like the Gators quite a bit.
See, Dan Mullins is a scary thing because Kirby's kind of been Dan Mullins' dad. Recently, that's the only thing that worries me. Here's a number.
Yeah, but Georgia's had the quarterback edge.
That's true.
And now it's significantly in Florida's favor. Kyle Trask over Stetson Bennett. Are you kidding me?
This is a game that I don't really understand the line move on. And honestly, I hammered a ticket once it hit 6.5. Florida Atlantic against Western Kentucky. Florida Atlantic hasn't played much, but when we've seen them, they've looked okay. They're a run-heavy offense, and it's supposed to be like basically a monsoon with like 20-mile-an-hour winds and rains. What about Western Kentucky is making this thing come down from 11.5 down to 6.5?
Well, I think suppressed scoring because of the weather. It's tough laying, you know, double digits when the total is 40 or less. Trevor Money, because, I mean, public's not going to want to bet Western Kentucky, who's, you know, hasn't covered a point spread yet this year, depending on what line you got in the BYU game, and they're failing to cover Western Kentucky by an average of 9 points per game. I do know a couple of really sharper guys that I highly respect, that I lean on, even in college football. You know, I always feel like I'm the best, but that's always to be determined on your next pick. But guys that I respect around Western Kentucky, I'm kind of with you. I'd prefer to lay the 6.5. Florida Atlantic has actually impressed me. I thought they would be a fade team all year on their first year coach with limited practice time, one of the most inexperienced teams in the country. They've had COVID issues, and yet, I mean, I've come away in all three games thinking, okay, they've actually looked okay.
Who thought coming into the season that Tennessee and Arkansas would be within a field goal of each other? Everybody was, as usual, everybody hypes up Tennessee, and Arkansas has obviously exceeded all expectations. I would guess they've moved up quite a bit in your power ratings, and rightfully so, but now sitting at Tennessee -2 against the Hogs. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to have a pre-flop bet in it. I just think it's a real – I'm glad you bring this game up because I think it's one of the more intriguing games of the entire weekend. I mean, I really think it's a big game for Tennessee. Off a bye after losing three straight, I think the program's kind of at a crossroads in year 300, Jeremy Pruitt. They have to win this game. They lose this game. I mean, it's Jeremy Pruitt starting – his seat's getting a little warm there in year three. Arkansas, you mentioned, I got them well over a touchdown since the start of the season. I already thought they were going to be a touchdown better as it is. So, I mean, they're at least two touchdowns better than what they were a year ago. They're 5-0 against the number. You know, I would say this is an instance where it's going to be interesting to see where the line moves. If it was to pick, I'd lean Tennessee. If it went to three, I'd probably take the three with the Hawks.
All right, that's Brad Powers. Go check him out at bradpowerssports.com. Follow him on Twitter at bradpowers7. Joins us every Thursday, breaks down college football, does a fantastic job. Brad, great as always, man. Look forward to talking to you next week.
I appreciate it, guys. Take care.
All right. We need to go to break.
What do we have a winner on the word thing?
I believe it was steal.
Steal? Okay.
I missed the actual first words he said.
I thought it was if you count the legal votes, we're winning. So I don't know.
I don't know.
All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. With my own decisions.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Late hits, Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock tonight at 7. Jason's already out there watching the president speak. We getting any good stuff, Aaron?
He doesn't – he's not as
– energetic.
He's not as brash as he normally is. He's very – and I don't know if they told him to be like this, but he almost
contrite.
Sounds well. He's always contrite, but it's not in a bully tone. It's in a like, you know, he's been clipped, he's been neutered. It's almost sad, like his tone of voice. It's like,
yeah, that's no fun.
It's very defeated.
It's not the that's not the Donald Trump that we know.
But there's a tremendous amount of litigation coming. Tremendous. Bigly.
It's not over yet.
It's not over yet.
You know, but it's not early yet either.
No, it's not early
yet. I can't say that anymore.
But the fact that he's like, we had these big leads in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania, and then magically they started to whittle away. Well, yeah, because they started counting the mail-in ballots, which you told your people not to do. This isn't, I don't know. If there's some funny business going on, I hope they find it. Because that's not the way democracy should be. But
no,
I can't imagine that there's that much funny business. But he's like, he can't believe the mail-in ballots are so one-sided when he literally told all his constituents not to vote by mail. And the Democrats all along have been saying, please vote by mail. Of course you can vote by mail. They've been fighting to keep post offices open. Like, why you'd be surprised that the mail-in votes are one-sided? And it goes the other way, too. Most Republicans voted in person. So, yes, those you should have built a good lead when it comes to the walk-up votes. That's the way it should work, because that's what you told people to do.
I mean, it also needs to be called out that every single news channel, Fox, MSNBC, CNN, all said mail-in voting isn't going to gum up the works. No, it's going to be just as efficient as if everybody goes in. And everybody went, really?
We knew it was going to be tough, and it's a pandemic. Listen, I you know, when Fred asked earlier, how are we not past mail-in voting yet? I think we kind of are, but in this is a crazy year. I mean, and that's nobody's fault. It's not Trump's fault. It's not Biden's fault that coronavirus exists. According to Trump, it's Wuhan's fault.
It is Wuhan's fault.
It's the China virus.
I agree with him on that.
Well, nobody had any control over it, but that's just it's a way to safely vote. And those votes should count the same. I mean, hell, Fred's vote counts the same as mine, unbelievably. And he's probably going to be dead by the time this thing's over.
Yeah, that's true. What if I die, does my vote still count?
If you die before they announce?
Yeah.
They'd have to take it back.
Mm. So
let's talk to Jake. I think this is my son, maybe. No? Hello, Jake.
Hey.
Oh, hey. It's not my son. Thank God.
Hey, guys, sports.
Sports to you.
Yes. Y'all were talking earlier about some Dungeons & Dragons.
No, not books. Y'all. Fred was.
That Fred had. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, only Fred.
What I wanted to let Fred know, he said that he had one of the Deities and Demigods books, which has all the gods in it. If he has the one that has the Elric gods in it,
is it very valuable?
By Michael Moorcock.
Yeah.
Very, very valuable.
Michael Moore what?
Very valuable.
Oh, I actually...
Michael Moorcock.
Yeah, I bet it is.
No, I do have that one, and I also have a
Gygax.
Stormbringer specific one.
A Stormspringer.
Dude, if I get
demigod's name that he said?
No, it was an author named Michael Moorcock, which... yeah. Shocker that you'd laugh at that. we made fun of that the entire time we were in high school reading his novels. About Elric, which were fantastic.
Elric. Do you have the Elric book? Oh, my gosh.
Actually, there's six of them.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have the scrolls?
There's no scrolls, but he does have a sword that has a demon encased in it and eats your soul when he kills you. So there. Also, in fact...
Sounds terrifying.
You know what? Here, play this for him. Blue Oyster Cult song Black Blade is based on that character.
Oh boy.
There you go.
Based on Elric?
On Elric of Melnibone.
Melbimene?
Melnibone. No, I can't
You're talking that. Like Biden now.
Yeah, Joe. Sleepy Fred. Sleepy Fred's talking about Elric of Melbatoast.
Yeah, you've never heard this song?
No. Crank it up, Aaron. So the Blue Oyster Cult guys, they were virgins, huh?
The Blister Cult.
The Blister Cult.
Crank that up a little more. It's a good song.
This sword here at my side don't act the way it should. Keeps calling
yeah, these guys are for sure virgins.
They had some
think
cool
about
stuff.
The groupies that they had.
Yeah. It was dorky D&D guys like me, yeah.
Big fat chicks with rainbow hair.
They were big in the 70s and 80s. Anyway, let's just go to break.
Thank you.
It's the Blurts. It's been
Blister.
Why don't you go get us some alcohol, bitch? Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.